it reminded me of where something familiar kind of tickled the back of my mind. And I was like, this something about this. And then I realized, I was like, oh, there's a tradition for channeling in Mormonism in at least a few different places. But the one that really came to me was when you're giving others a blessing.
Oh, totally.
And it just reminded me of the places that Mormonism facilitates creative, spontaneous expression.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Baby steps.
You want someone to preach to?
The philosophies of men.
I like magical toys.
You want religion, do you?
Mingled with humor.
I don't believe in them.
There will be many willing to preach to you the philosophies of men mingled with humor.
We are evolving.
Baby steps.
You can buy anything in this world with money.
Look for the good in everything. Look for the people who will set your soul free. It always seems impossible until it's done. Look for the good in everyone.
All right, so we're just going to launch and we're just going to jump in. I might seem a little reticent today. Josh, I'm a little nervous about what we're going to do. Mm. Mm-hmm. And excited at the same time, like both. Mm. But before we get into that, we've been going through self-reliance quite slowly and clunkily. And I don't know that we've done Ralph Waldo Emerson any favors in the approach that we had. And as I was thinking, okay, how are we going to approach it today? I just started thinking, you know, what I really want to do is share with you something that I created that I think there's some similar ideas in it, but it's a very different thing than what he did. So I did want to check in with you though, because I know that the self-reliance was really, it's an important thing to you. And I don't want to, like, I feel bad, like short shrifting it.
I didn't feel like it's getting short shrifted.
Okay. But even if I like come in and I usurp it and go, no, we're not doing that. We're doing this. Is that not kind of like a douchey move to make?
I didn't have that reaction that I judged it as douchey. I am interested in what you brought as what you're going to share.
All right.
And I figure we'll get back to Ralph if we need to. And if we don't, we don't.
Okay.
I love that essay, and it has particular meaning to me in what I understand he's communicating. And to essentially respect yourself, observe yourself, come to some sense of your own, the gravity of your own uniqueness is itself valuable, whether it's anything, and nothing that anyone ever did that's of use came from anywhere else but their own originality. And so for me, that's the thesis of it, is learn to appreciate your own creative juices, really, to try to put it as simply as possible.
Well, we're going to baste in some creative juices today, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm interested to witness the creative, shall we say, excretions now. Just what you've been producing and what's been coming out of the mind and body of Glenn Ausland.
Yeah. Okay. So I emailed it to you. So you'll have it, so we could kind of like read it along. And I'll give some context to it. But at any point as we're reading through it, I would love for you to like jump in and whatever's coming up for you in the moment, like we've been doing, you know, how is this hitting you? How is it hitting me? This is something that I recorded in April of 2022. And, you know, with Infants on Thrones, did you listen to the psychic episodes ever?
I know that I heard y'all talking about them. They may, were they earlier on in the career
Earlier
of,
on, yeah.
I think that I missed them and that I heard y'all talking about them and referencing them from other episodes. Because yeah, but I don't think I ever heard the psychic.
Okay. So the reason that I asked about the psychic episodes, when I got into podcasting with Mormon Expression, and Mormon Expression did a breakoff series called Mormon Expression Voices, where they interviewed listeners. And one of the listeners wrote in and said, "Hey, my wife is this psychic. She's a Mormon psychic that converted to Mormonism, and she's got a story." And the people at Mormon Expression thought, "Oh, we'll give that one to Glenn. He's interested in folklore and kind of weird stuff like that." Where for the rest of it just made their stomach turn, I think. And I just loved it. I loved that conversation, and then had a second one with her, and I wanted to do where she would channel live on the podcast. And that was a game changer. Like, that's basically what got kicked me off of Mormon Expression. Really. And so I've tried to smuggle in my interest for psychics and mediums and channeling and things like that throughout the run of Infants on Thrones, but there's always been this fear of how it's going to be responded to and how I'm going to, I'll just leave it at that. So in April 2022, I was talking with a psychic, I guess is how you would call her. Her name's Kimber. She was interviewed on the Mormons and Mushrooms podcast, is how I was introduced to her. And I was talking with her, and she said, "You're connected with these Arcturian energies." And I hadn't really heard anything about Arcturians before. I kind of knew a little bit, like I'd listened to some channeling stuff before, mainly people who identify as Pleiadians. And there'd been some mention of Arcturians, but I didn't really know. So she said, "Yeah, you're connected to these Arcturians energy." And I'm like, "Could I channel them?" She goes, "If you want to." I'm like, "How would I do that?" She goes, "Just open up your mouth and do it." And I'm like, "Well, who would I be talking to? Who's on the other side of this?" And she's like, And she started laughing, and she goes, "Omra. Yeah, he's got a funny sense of humor. He's a weird thing." And I'm like, "Okay, I don't know." So I went away from that conversation, like really curious, really interested. And my instinct was to Google Arcturians and find out as much as I could find out about them. But I decided to suppress that instinct and instead go, "Okay, I'm just gonna like open up my mouth and start talking and see what comes out. And then I'll go back and then I'll like check and see if what I say has anything overlapping with what other people have said about it." So I started doing this Arcturian history lesson that I was giving myself. And what we're going to be reading today is the first time that I sat down to do this. And it's published as a podcast on the Arcturian Playground, but it's me doing a weird voice. I've done the voice, I've done the Omra character on Infants on Thrones before. But it's something I'm a little nervous about. But I wanted to share this with you, and I want to have a discussion about it because I realized I really want to talk about these ideas that come through when I'm doing it. And I don't have a place to do it. And as long as I'm afraid, I've used that little quote of yours, like, "I'm tired of being a coward. I don't want to be a coward anymore." Like that's how I'm feeling with it. Like, these are ideas that I want to talk about. And so I appreciate you, your interest in humoring me on this today.
Totally. What comes up for me as you're sharing is I'm just to me, I think of it in like two pieces. The part of you that is scared or anxious or worried or whatever. And then the part of you that's like wants something and is more maybe we I didn't hear you use the word, but excited. Don't know. I'm curious if we don't even have to get into it, but I'm curious about like what are you afraid of and what do you want? Like what do you hope? What would be the best outcome? What do you think is the worst or
Jeez. Those are big questions. Which one, what am I afraid of? I'm afraid that people are going to think I'm stupid, lost his mind, or that I think that it's real, in the sense of I'm better than you because I've got a connection to these Arcturian beings and you don't. And so you better listen to me. You know, it's like the whole Joseph Smith thing of like I don't want people to think I'm stupid for doing it. And I also don't want people to believe it where they're like, oh, I want to follow him, or you know, where it's increasing kind of dogma or anything like that. And those messages come out, like, because anyway, we'll get to it when that comes out. And what would I like from it?
Yeah, like the excitement part, what's interesting or what what's generating the energy that makes you want to do it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know, because I've felt that energy, in that excited energy inside of me for a very, very long time. And it's the same exciting energy that led me to do ayahuasca ceremonies and, you know, things like that, to kind of explore things that I don't know. But what I've seen in the last year and a half that I've been doing it is a shift in myself, in the way that I view things. Like, I've created a perspective that I can kind of step into that's more of a holistic way of viewing things, instead of like where I usually am. And so that has helped me at times when, like, I'm in an argument or something happens and I feel myself getting this triggered state. Like, I feel like, okay, I'm able to like access that perspective that puts it in, it puts it into context for it from a different way of viewing things. And that has been incredibly valuable for me. And so to share that process with others, and you know, for your consideration if that's valuable to you or not, but it's been a really powerful way for me to kind of sculpt my own worldview.
So it's like the fear of being thought of as dumb or maybe pedestaled as some kind of like an overestimation or some kind of worship or following is also not what you want.
Yeah.
That's what I heard anyway.
Right.
And then this thing's
But at the
been
same time, I want a bunch of people to love it.
You want them to love it, but not over like become followers of it. Like or
Right.
pedestal you in some way.
Yeah. Which
Yeah.
sounds stupid when I hear it coming from you, but yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, lucky for you, none of that's in your control and people are going to do whatever the hell they want with it and that will be
Right.
that and
Yeah.
that'll be up to them. But what I do hear is it's been valuable to you. It's been practically useful. It's benefited you in your own personal development and there's been like a practical side that's been great, and there's some hope that maybe people can gain some of that from it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. But and yeah. And because I think a lot of the main message behind it is acceptance of others, like acceptance of the, it's kind of like getting out of your own way and recognizing that there's so much that we don't know, to be more humble and more curious and more accepting about things. Yeah, I get really excited by that message.
Cool. Well, we could probably keep spitballing on this for another hour. Part of me just wants to get into it.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Do you have it open in front of you?
Yeah.
Do you wanna like rotate? I wrote it out as if it's like a chapter from the Book of Mormon. It's got verses, and I don't know why they all say one on this. There's really
Yeah, I was going to
28 of
say
them.
it's every single one is verse one.
Yeah. I just emailed it from my notes on my phone to you, and it had a weird thing with the numbers there.
Well, why don't you go ahead and read first? Because I feel like, you know, this is your creative thing. And in a way, it's you're sharing your vulnerability, you're sharing your art. That's at least how I think of it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because
I'll read the whole thing then, in that sense,
okay.
if you're okay with that.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. All right. You want to know the history. You speak the word Arcturian and you think that you understand. You think you understand that you're speaking to an advanced entity or an advanced being, an advanced alien race from a single planet within a solar system that's just around the corner of the galaxy from you, what you would consider to be the Arcturus system. But this is a misunderstanding. It's not untrue that we grew from planets as you are growing from yours, but as our intelligence increased, as our awareness of who and what we are increased, we learned that we were more than what had grown from our planets, just as you are more than what is growing from yours. There are bits and pieces of you, intelligent systems that are part of your being. You might call them an energy field. That sounds a little hokey to us. It's simply your body. But it's part of your body that is a finer material than you're able to experience with your five senses, the five dominant senses. There are more senses than five, and there are some senses that you're able to use to detect those parts of you that are undetectable by the dominant five. But we came to give you a history lesson of the Arcturians, which are not, as you would think, a single race of entities having grown from a planet in a distant solar system. No, we are the intelligence that grew from that planet and combined with the intelligences of other forms of life that we found within our solar system. And we became one, for we always had been one. It was only our awareness of who and what we were that increased. And as we turn our gaze outward to others, we see you in this corner of the galaxy, you who are also one with us, but have, as of yet, not raised your collective awareness. There are certainly individuals among you who recognize who you are, that you are more, at least. None of us sees completely the whole, but it is a game of awareness, raising the awareness. And there are, as you know, Pleiadian energies and Andromedan energies and others that you would call Anunnaki and many others, Assyrians. These are simply names that are given to different aspects of an entire whole. We are all pieces in a much larger pie, if you will, and you are part of our pie. We care for you as we care for ourselves. We raised our level of expansion through inquiry, through exploration of the intellect from a very compassionate perspective. It was not always so with us, just as it has not always been so with you. And so here we are to give you a shoulder to lean on, if you will. The experience that we went through, that you are going through, for in some ways, you are what we were. So when you communicate with any other of the Arcturian energies, or any of the other energies, this also includes the energies of the other humans who you interact with, or you are energy. We understand that it sounds strange to speak of energies, but in fact, there is a way of sensing, a way of perceiving, that would make it more clear to you. We're referring to a part of your own biology that has not yet evolved to the state of sensing the energies that are around you. And yet that sensory system, that perception, lies within your potential. In other words, it lies dormant. In other words, it lies within your unconscious, which means to say that you do, in fact, sense all that there is. That data, if you will, is stored in your unconscious mind and the collective unconscious, not only of the species on your planet, but even that which we share. Raising our awareness has decreased the amount of unconscious data that is available to us, and yet there is still an unconscious, even to us. This is the illusion of separateness from the other. Hang on, I need to stop here because you haven't responded at all.
Yeah, I was just enjoying listening.
Yeah.
Did you have any questions?
No, I'm just wondering. Yeah, like what are you thinking as you're listening to this? Because I start like getting aware that you're sitting there not saying anything, and then all my worries start bubbling up and getting in the way.
I like that. Well, I want to go like Freudian and be like, what are the worries that are coming up?
Do.
Okay.
Yeah. What's coming up? What worries that I'm boring you? Worries that you think this is stupid and like, why is Glenn wasting my time with this?
Well, the Gestalt therapist in me wants to invite you to ask me any of those things, maybe one at a time, and I can just respond. Like you could just say, are you bored?
Am I boring you?
No.
Yeah. Does the Gestalt therapist have, and you have anything more to add to that?
Well, yeah, my reaction is I want to tell you more about like what I was thinking and what was going on as I was listening. So I'll do that.
Yeah.
I liked listening to your voice read it. I was thinking about what it might be like for you to be sharing this thing with people. And I was thinking about what I imagine goes into writing something like this or channeling something like this. At times I was like, oh, I wonder if there's like kind of like influences of I don't know, like Mormon structures of
Oh, for
thinking
sure.
and like those kind of things. And then I was thinking about just the dominant theme, which is it's not actually this is in line with what I already am somewhat familiar with through other people who have channeled entities or spoken to things. I have a buddy who got into some stuff and he was reading about this being that was channeling as well to some other people. And essentially, but I was thinking about like part of me was looking at the word solar systems and thinking about that. And then I was thinking about do these things exist in physical space or is it more interdimensional? Like they're not actually from a solar system, but other dimensions of the same solar system or even this solar system. Do they travel through space or are like not just senses? Like I was thinking about the content of what you were sharing. And I was thinking about, okay, are these interdimensional beings? I hear that a lot get thrown around, that there are entities that are interdimensional, which are both benevolent and maleficent, and that they can interact with us on multi-dimensional platforms. The way that your channeling was coming through, it was more about refinement of sensation to move into other senses. And I was thinking, this is an interesting contrast to what I imagine might be getting into being able to experience other dimensions. Like we experience three-dimensional space, but these beings experience maybe four, five, six-dimensional space, which allows them to basically interact at a higher level. One of the things I've often thought about where my mind was going is like there's that little spade-headed looking worm. It's an asexual creature. It has two rudimentary photosensors on its head. And you can cut it and it'll just asexually reproduce into more of itself. And what it does is it says the photosensors say, go away from light and you'll get food and you'll be safer. That's pretty much its most basic meaning-making operating system. And then I think from that level of organization and order to us, there are other beings that are that magnitude of development beyond us. That just makes sense to me. So this idea, whether that's biological or whether it's some way of becoming interdimensional, given that we experience many more dimensions of reality than that worm. And so we're able to perceive it and interact with it in ways that it can't even comprehend. And so those were kind of the thoughts about this. And then I was just that was like the technical analysis. And I was just thinking about like this idea of a unity of the universe on a conscious collective level and some of those things. So that's my feedback to
Thank
kind
you
of,
for sharing that with me. No,
yeah.
that puts my fears to rest. That makes me feel like the ideas are engaging to you because they like started a little avalanche in your mind of like the
Yeah.
things that are interesting to you, and then it just like you started going. And that's the kind of response that I would love for people to have
Cool.
to this. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Read
All
on.
right. I will read on. So
So
this
this
is
is
the
the
illusion
illusion
of
of separateness
separateness
from
from
the
the one,
one,
the
the creator,
creator, the
the
source
source
of
of
all.
all.
Once
Once
awareness
awareness
is
is raised
raised
to
to
the
the
point
point
where
where
there
there
is
is no
no unconscious,
unconsciousness,
that
that is
is
God
God
consciousness.
consciousness.
That's
That's
what
what
each
each
of
of
us
us
are,
are,
with
with
a
a
veil
veil
pulled
pulled
over
over
our
our
understanding.
understanding.
We
We
enjoy
enjoy
playing
playing
with
with
you.
you.
We
We
have
have
enjoyed
enjoyed
the
the voice
voice you
you
have
have
given
given
to
to
us
us
this
this
evening.
evening.
It
It
was
was
a
a
nice
nice
turn
turn
inward,
inward,
and
and
we
we
would
would
encourage
encourage
you
you
to
to
continue
continue
along
along
this
this
inward
inward
spiral,
spiral,
if
if
you
you
will,
will,
this
this
searching
searching
for
for
your
your
voice
voice
and
and
your
your
mission.
mission.
We
We
want
want
to
to
speak
speak
to
to
you.
you.
We
We
know
know
you.
you.
We
We
are
are
your
your
kin.
kin.
We
We
are
are
able
able
to
to
see
see
much
much
more
more
than
than
what
what
you're
you're
able
able
to
to
see,
see,
and
and
you
you
are
are
able
able
to
to
see
see
quite
quite
a
a
bit.
bit.
You're
You're
able
able
to
to
see
see
the
the
good
good
in
in
others.
others.
You're
You're
able
able
to
to
see
see
their
their
potential.
potential.
This
This
is
is
a
a
glimmer
glimmer
of
of
their
their
soul.
soul.
A
A
whiff,
whiff,
a
a
scent,
scent,
a
a
vague
vague
hint.
hint.
We are able to see the whole and communicate with the whole and merge with the whole and have ways of communication, interaction, and becoming that, yes, you know, you cannot understand. And yet you do, because understanding that you do not understand and accepting that you do not understand is prerequisite to an increase in understanding. It's prerequisite to the raising of consciousness, which you have experienced many times throughout this life and many others. We wish for you to hone your superpower. We wish for you to hone your superpower in each moment. And in fact, we notice that this is what you are doing. This is where you have turned your focus of attention, and this is why you feel separated from others. You feel disconnected because you have turned your focus towards other things. And yet, you have a gift to connect. You have the gift to make others feel very good about themselves. You have the ability to encourage others to open up their hearts, to relax, to enjoy, to inquire, to start down the path. But be careful with those words. It is not to start down the path, and it's not you who pushes them along. It is they who push themselves from a desire to ascend in a certain direction, with a certain type of focus. One that you are able to embody, just as we, the Arcturians, have raised our awareness by the pursuit of certain desires and certain urges. We developed our own unique flavor, if you will, as you do. And those who gravitate towards that particular bent, that particular perspective, will find encouragement in your example, as you have found the encouragement in the examples of others who have gone before you. This is a wave of vibration that is much larger than you can comprehend. That would be you, your soul. Feel safe. Feel safe. Open up your heart. Feel the truth of the games that you are playing. Open up your heart and feel the truth within the games that you are playing. Be confident that when you act from a place of compassion and deep consideration for those around you, that anything you do will be compassionate. It does not matter what that is, as long as it is compassionate. Be that example for those around you. Become that for yourself. That is your superpower, one of your superpowers. Develop it and others will follow. By that, we mean other powers will follow, but as yet, other souls will also follow the example that you set. They will join you. They will support you. They, in turn, will encourage you as you encourage them. Allow it. Do not fear it. Do not push it away. That is our advice and encouragement to you. If you wish to go and sing, we will sing with you. We are with you. We appreciate the perspective of your friend Kimber. The image of Om Ra amuses us. If you wish to use that, you may, but we understand that you recognize it is a fiction. You understand fiction as a fabrication. You understand fiction as a composite, as a construct, as something that is made up of other things, and those things may have flaws within themselves. Those things may form a partial picture, but not a complete picture, because all of these things are fiction. They are made up. They are constructed. They are accurate in some ways and inaccurate in others. They represent a certain perspective, which is not a complete perspective or a whole. There is only one truth, which is the composite of all things. Such a truth cannot be held in a single word or a single idea, or claimed by a single species of a single life form on a single planet in a single solar system, within a universe that is stacked upon, within, among infinite duplicates of itself and all of its sisters and brothers forever, constantly growing and changing, flowering, introducing new variables and trying them out, developing new variables from the old variables and trying those out, playing the game of forgetting and remembering over and over again. The understanding, the perfect understanding of every aspect of every minute detail in all those different existences is the one truth. Anything more than that is impossible. Anything less than that is a fiction. And all of the truth in this world is a fiction. It is one perspective from one species with a limited vision, limited understanding, limited range of perception, truth. And yet, within that small fraction of truth, how much beauty do you behold? How much joy? How much love? How much suffering? How much unnecessary suffering? How many opportunities for growth? There is still so much that you do not know, that you could know, within this thin sliver of reality that you experience and have available to you. If you could truly understand what your soul is about, you would marvel. So marvel. Even though you do not know, marvel at the prospect. Marvel at the truth that you know that you do not know.
Cool. Well, how was it, Glenn? How was it to read all of it? What does it bring up for you?
It felt good, especially after you told me how you were kind of engaging with the material. Mm-hmm. It's personal to me, you know, like it is very much informed by my Mormon mind, Mormon-formed mind. I hear Mormonism all throughout it. You know, I hear little phrases that are just like coming up.
You know what surprised me in listening to it, not on the content, but some of the nature of it, the form, maybe just even hearing you speak. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of where something familiar kind of tickled the back of my mind. And I was like, this something about this. And then I realized, I was like, oh, there's a tradition for channeling in Mormonism in at least a few different places. But the one that really came to me was when you're giving others a blessing.
Oh, totally.
And so even affecting a different voice when giving a blessing is not stated that you have to, but it almost becomes a thing. And it's this
subtle.
It's subtle, but yeah. It's very common that there's a small inflection, there's a slowing down. Sometimes people will speak like in the thou language instead of like typical English when they give a blessing. I don't think everyone does that, but that also does happen.
Yeah.
And then especially with patriarchal blessings.
Right.
And like these messages from divinity that kind of talk about unique attributes that individuals may have. And I was thinking about some of the attributes that you have, about your compassion, about these other things. And it just reminded me of the places that Mormonism facilitates creative, spontaneous expression. And how that way of doing that in a public way that gets, it has a structure to support it, you know, in a testimony meeting, in a blessing you give to somebody, receiving a patriarchal blessing, which I know my girlfriend's going to listen to this. There's these blessings.
So you've got to explain what a patriarchal blessing is.
She's going to be like, what the hell is this? It's like they lay out your whole life for you and tell you like all this special stuff about you that you only get once in your life from one person who basically is talking to God and telling you special information. It's like the Mormon horoscope for you.
Or Oracle.
And it gets recorded and written down. And that's very rare for blessings to have that done for them. Some people do that in other special blessings, like with infants, but Mormons are always blessing each other throughout their lives in these different ways and having what you would just say is spontaneous revealed information from God that the men actually, I don't think maybe there was a history of women doing this that's debated or for sure happened, but doesn't happen now. But it's essentially the men are doing this thing. And it just made me think about, it's actually kind of nice. Like, as I was thinking, like, it's nice to have moments of spontaneous speaking in this way. And that when you leave that group where you no longer believe it, it doesn't mean you don't have this developed intuition of being able to speak things like that.
Totally.
So that came up when you
Well, here's what came up for me as you were talking about that. And I think this is going to make your inner Freud really happy, because it's some daddy issues. Yeah, we tend to talk about daddy issues from time to time, don't we?
Our new podcast should just be called Daddy Issues. Yeah. Love callers come in and talk about their dads.
But what you were talking about with the blessings and the way that, you know, you change the effect and how you commonly give these blessings. Father's blessings is part of this tradition. And at least in my family, the way that, you know, the first day of school was, okay, everybody come out here. You're getting a father's blessing before school. And then different times, you know, during the year, you needed a blessing of comfort, you could go to your dad because he's the priesthood holder in the home. Sorry, Mom. And, you know, get that blessing from your dad. And you said it was nice. And I can agree with you now that it's nice. There was a time, especially when I was first leaving the church, where it really pissed me off that the only time that my dad was comfortable connecting with me was when he would put his hands on my head and we both had our eyes closed and he would speak to me on behalf of God, you know, like he is channeling this thing through me. And I'm like, why can't you be like this for me? Just kind of, we can sit and have a conversation and really connect. It's got to go through this form. And if it's not said in exactly the right way, or, you know, like your eyes are open during the play, you ruined it. You know, like there's all this like bullshit around it that really annoyed me. But I have found, so that came up for me, that memory of my disgust with that. But then also having left, there have been times where my mom has given me a blessing, and there have been times where Cammie has given me a blessing, and we kind of appropriate that, because I feel like that's mine. I earned that, you know, like giving blessings, receiving blessings, that doesn't belong to the Mormon church. And just because I left the Mormon church, I can take this thing that I was raised with and I formed habits around and still use it intentionally for things that provide value to me. And so I've had my mom give me a blessing, and Cammie give me a blessing. And
Is your mom not in the church anymore?
no, she's not.
Okay.
No. And it was her idea. She asked me if she could, and I'm like, yeah, awesome.
What
And I only corrected her a couple of times about it. I'm kidding, I didn't.
Yeah, well, God actually wasn't speaking to you on that one.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting. The piece that stands out for me is you would get a connection to your dad only through the confines of this ritual within Mormonism,
Yeah.
where something was happening that you liked, but that it wasn't happening outside of that ritual in a way that you might have longed for. Like, I imagine longing for him to just say how much he wishes for these things for you, or he believes in you, or some of the things that like a blessing might entail in content, or some kind of other connection that didn't get basically take the condom off. You know, it's like the
Yeah, right.
there's this thing of like it's done through this filter. It's not done through direct connection with him that you were wanting.
Yeah. And it's that, you know, a lot of times when you get these blessings, it's a reminder of how special you are and how loved you are by the Lord. You know, in the eyes of the Lord, you're very special. And so when my dad's telling me that, it's like, oh, my dad's telling me that in his eyes, I'm really special. But when it's not, you know, like that's not how everyday life is being lived. It's kind of a performance and a sham that I started resenting. At least the form and that kind of rigid grasping, holding on to the forms of these things.
What's also, as you're talking about it, it's distanced from his personal experience of you, and it's said through God, but it's him saying it, you know? So on some level, he's tapping into these feelings of you, but he's not saying them from him. He's saying them in a removed way, like it's from God, instead of, you know, Glenn, I think you're so special. You have all these amazing gifts and all these wonderful things, and I see them and I love that about you. Maybe that's what you would have liked.
And I don't know if I ever even needed to hear those words, but just to feel that that's how he actually felt by the way that he was with me, you know, like I just, yeah. So that's in there. The other thing that kind of jumped out as I was reading it to you is this part where it talked about not being afraid to connect. You know, and that I have a gift to connect with others, to make others feel good about themselves, the ability to encourage others to open up their hearts, to relax, to enjoy, to inquire. Like I feel like I've done that with Infants on Thrones, but it's also this kind of weird, disconnected way because there's the prophylactic of the internet in between me and anybody who I'm, you know, my words are touching through headphones to their eardrums, and you know, it's very distant and separate, it from a spatial, you know, like spatial thing. But so I felt that kind of like warmth of, yeah, that is true. I am able to do that. I have done that. And because of that distance, I don't usually feel that. I feel kind of separated from that. So I caught a little glimpse of that feeling, and you got to be the symbol for that, you know, being a listener who came and said, "Hey, I want to create stuff and play with you in this, you know." So.
Yeah, I think that part where it was kind of doing some of that was where it got more clear to me, like, oh, this is familiar in the sense of this reminds me of some of the structure of what might commonly be in a Mormon blessing.
Yeah.
You know, some commentary on positive attributes about you and some kind of challenges and support to do certain things and reminders of the backing support and power of your greater connection to what's outside of you, you know, to keep it in very general terms. In Mormonism, that would specifically be God, that and perhaps angels that might be supporting you or something. But yeah, the those words of kind of your the Arcturians' encouragement to you and the support that they were offering you and the insights about your abilities, it was almost like they were giving you a blessing or doing things that reminded me of what a Mormon blessing might include.
Yeah.
I kind of do a thing where I still occasionally, and when I remember to do it, I like to do it, but I like to pray a lot. I enjoy morning prayers. I enjoy praying over meals. I enjoy praying over trips and really just kind of cultivating verbal expression for things I'm grateful for. Also setting intentions, getting my mind focused on things. I'm not asking for God to do a thing, but I think using the way of asking for a thing kind of shapes an intention to open myself up to things that my mind can kind of gravitate toward and allow me to like manifest it. And I think there's something about the method of it. And I think there's studies that like people who pray are happier. I'm not, someone can, some of our dozens of listeners can check that, but there seems to be something like that. And I think of just these, it's like fitness in the realm of spirituality and metaphysics. There's something about verbal expression that I'm just tapping into, like saying a prayer out loud, saying a blessing out loud, letting the Arcturian speak through you, this free flow, improvisational, you know, channeling, as you call it.
So
So.
let me ask you this, because you mentioned the studies that there might be studies on people who pray are happier.
I think so.
Who knows? Who cares for a minute? Tell me about your own experience with it, like times in your life where you did, times in your life where you didn't. What personal impact do you see of praying? Or, you know, which I like to think of just kind of checking in with yourself in a particular way.
Well, I like praying with others too, because it kind of lets them in on like some intentional thought processes that you can deliberately do that invite you to reflect on gratitude, that invite you to bring your attention to the moment, to set intentions, to acknowledge vulnerability and for your mind to be open to things that you're wanting. I don't really believe it's correct to I maybe I'm not sure. I don't know about asking for things. It seems a bit, I don't know. I'm
But
on the
even the
fence about
asking
it.
for a thing is a revealing of your desire, like kind of sharing or kind of setting expectations and that sort of thing, right?
It has that benefit. I'm on the fence because a part of me thinks It's a really nice thing to express. It's also, well, I guess here's where it comes in. I actually believe in the kind of ideology of a Christian prayer, which would say, ask for everything and ask God for anything and be open and allowing for him to bless you. But it comes with the caveat that you must be detached from the outcome, and the ultimate wish is for God's will to be done, which means I ask for the thing I want, and then I say, let thy will be done. And it is with that caveat that I don't endeavor to impose my will on things that, in my Stoic perspective, are outside of my control, while holding open the possibility that they could happen, and that I'm open to it, and that I'm allowing space for myself to be blessed with those things. So that would be kind of where I sit with it.
And that you're open to recognizing those blessings, if you call them that, when they come, instead of thinking, oh, well, no, that's not it. I'm waiting for this other thing over here.
And I think there's something about being specific which the universe rewards. I don't know how that is, but even, with finding love or things like that, like when I got to a place where I felt like I was open to receiving it, then it happened. And I know there's lots of other people that are like, fuck you, I'm open and nothing's happening. And I felt like I was open at times, but really there was just like a certain coalescence of events, and then these things occur,
I want to comment on that for a minute, because I'm glad you mentioned that, that the universe, like if you're specific, then the universe rewards you. Just the idea of, if I do this, then this thing we're calling the universe, in I want to use this as a way to explain what I said earlier about my shifting worldview, because in the past I would hear something like that and I would think, oh, you're talking about something that's outside of yourself in the universe. Now I don't. I think what you so like what my thought process would have been previously is, oh, you're saying this thing outside of yourself is what did this for you, but really it's your own internal thing that did it. So it's not the universe, it's you, and you're saying that it's universe.
Yeah,
But
you
now,
separated the person from the universe, and now you don't.
But now I think, oh, it's all the same thing. It is all the same thing. I don't have to like correct you because you're using the wrong words. Like in the past, I would have thought that and be like, oh, okay, all right, yeah. This universe, which you are a part of, you're not outside of the universe. And there's just as much universe inside of you as there is outside of you, but we don't typically think of it that way. And so, like, the forces inside and the forces outside that act on you have resulted in this thing that comes from you really knowing specifically what it is that you want and what it is that you don't want, and then you find that.
And I think there's something about speaking what you want that has magical powers. I don't know why that is, but it seems like it is. And it also, I think, clarity of willpower also invites the universe to coalesce around your manifesting. I do have a sense of belief in manifestation, and that is by saying what you want and standing by it with resolve and willpower, there's something about attention and mindset that the universe seems to respond to that. And maybe it's because you're just unifying your own behaviors around it, or maybe it's actually the nature of reality that when you cultivate your willpower towards what you want, the universe can, just like in the physical form, it's easy to see that. Like if you build something, then it exists. And there's something about building the mindset, and then it allows it to manifest into reality. But there's something about that too. And I think so, cultivating your willpower and your force of energy behind things that you wish for seems to let them come into your life.
The way that I think about that is the neural pathways are strengthened when you speak it. When you write it, when you express it in different ways than just thinking it. And just thinking it, you've got some neural activity that's going on. But when you're doing it in different ways, it reinforces that. And like confirmation bias, I think, is a really valuable component of manifestation.
Yeah, there may be very ordinary means to explain this, and there may be very mystical and magical means to explain this, but it does seem like it's observable. And and other cultures tap
Did it seem
into
like
it.
I was trying to demystify something that you said?
No,
Okay,
no,
sorry.
no, no. No, these are just important points of it to me, which is that it has a seemingly ordinary everydayness, but it also can transcend into something magical as well. And both are there. And one of the manifestations where I've seen basically an example shown over and over and over for unifying your mind around a single purpose and then letting it unfold while also doing everything you can to bring it into existence, but also speaking it and reminding it over and over and over, is in most of, I think, the Shonen Jump manga. They have a very similar recurring hero archetype, and he will always repeat his thing, like what he's doing it for, what he wants, what his goal is. And he speaks it over and over and over and over. And then he just gets his ass kicked and goes through hell trying to get the thing that he wants. But like with One Piece, Luffy's always saying, I'm going to be the king of the pirates. I'm going to be the king of the pirates. I'm going to be the king of the pirates. And his whole goal is to find this ultimate treasure. And he's competing against all these other people. It takes him on all these adventures. But they're demonstrating, I think, the power of that unified, singular, obsessive purpose that's required in order for you to achieve something amazing. And they're basically showing you the recipe. It's tons of grinding, tons of hard work, luck, friendship, support, care. Like all these things are built into these stories that show these characters overcoming everything, but it's like this iron will that's just going inside of them as well. And they're constantly repeating their mantra as well of what is the thing that they're setting out to do. And it's clear, and it's about what who they are, what they're gonna do.
All right, so I'm going to speak out loud. The thing that we read today is the first of seven, and I'd like to read all seven with you over the next few weeks. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, let's read them. Let's see what the Arcturians have to say.
Okay. And I really liked where your mind was going about comparing where humans are in a state of evolution to that really kind of amazing worm or whatever it was that
Yeah,
is still
yeah.
pretty incredible by
Yeah,
itself.
right.
And if you're looking at the entire universe as a place where life is evolving and has been evolving
Right.
for who knows how long,
Yeah, Big Bang is
and really
bullshit.
what is time?
I don't think that's the only timeline. I think that's where we can gather certain information with our physics to imagine something.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that's the age of this. It means
Right.
that's the age of a thing we can connect to.
Yeah. Within the very
Within what?
narrow realm of perceivable
Yeah.
stuff that
Yeah.
we can even
Yeah. I mean,
make a
and
guess at.
I mean, one of the things that blows my mind is just the fact that space is a thing. Space has properties. It can contain things within it, and there's things outside of space that are, but space hasn't moved on to yet. So that's also fucking crazy to me to think about.
So these are the kinds of things that really excite me. And it's, Infants on Thrones started off as let's just bash the Mormon church. And we did it really well and had a lot of fun with it. And I kind of got used to doing something creative, like one of these general conference episodes and, uploading it and then seeing like thousands of people engaging with it and getting that like dopamine hit of like, yeah. And now I do something like this with Arcturians, and there's like 25
Yeah.
people, and I'm like, oh man. So that's one of those fears too, that is like, oh, I'm just not hitting it. But I also realize I don't want those thousands of people if what I'm doing is creating, like reinforcing this idea of which I think is kind of a douchey idea of how stupid are these people. Like let's see, because I did this whole dissertation on humor, right? That I didn't finish my PhD, but I did a dissertation on humor. And one of the functions of humor, when it's interpreted through superiority theory, is that it establishes your superiority over others. So that's like very deeply ingrained in me. And I became aware that what I was doing with the humor of Infants on Thrones was reinforcing, or ran the risk of reinforcing, this thing that I don't even want to run the risk of reinforcing, that like laughing at how stupid these other people are. As far as like separating my own beliefs, you know, like I, doing that for myself, being able to laugh at myself so that I don't take myself too seriously. I see that as a very different thing, but I just didn't want to do the, yeah, it just like making fun of Monson and
Well,
Acker,
I
and it was
mean,
fun. I didn't
yeah.
want to do that anymore.
Well, just to follow up on what you're saying, it's like I think as there's a order of magnitude difference between us and that worm, there are almost certainly beings that are orders of magnitude beyond us. So this
Yeah.
stuff's not outside my wheelhouse. So I just want to kind of complete that thought
Yeah.
and say it makes sense that there would be, and they could perceive reality in ways that we could never even begin to comprehend or imagine. And their interactions with us would be extremely limited in the same way that if you interacted with that worm, it's going to be very difficult to interact with it in a productive way. You can only do, you're
Yeah.
limited by the limitations of that worm.
Of
And these
its if
beings,
it's biologically evolved
yeah,
sensory systems.
whatever. Yeah. I mean, maybe you could speak words of love to it and maybe it will actually respond. Who knows? But which would say energetically, you might be able to that are beyond it saying, and maybe these things are doing that for us. Who knows? But that seems plausible to me. So that's number one. And so I'm interested in that. And then number two is like, yeah, you know, in a way, in my anime thing, you're expressing your wish, which is I want to share this Arcturian playground with people.
Yeah.
So I invite you to just keep saying it and stick to it and let's support it. And the other thing is, it's easy to get on a topic where there's a ton of pain and get energy and momentum. And so with supporting people coming out of a Mormon faith crisis, the pain is so acute that there's such a huge need there to speak to that, that I think what you did got a lot of contact there for people. And I think you're a little bit reducing what in total that project allowed for, that it wasn't just simply bashing the church, although bashing the church played a role in it. It was creating a space for people to feel seen, to hear people who could speak more articulately than them about the things they were feeling so they could
Yeah.
recognize and gain perspective on their own emotions and go through a grief and recovery process that was facilitated by comedy and a safe place to rail against all these absurdities that they were processing. So
Yeah.
that's what I see about that project. But the problem is that once you're no longer angry and you've done enough of your own work, it's so hard. It's impossible. It's like the boner's gone. It's like I couldn't fuck you if I wanted to. I'm sorry, you know? And so once you're no longer angry and you've healed, it's really hard to stay in an ex-Mormon space just because it doesn't resonate anymore. And so it just can't keep your attention. But for people that are there, they need that. And it's not simply a thing of like, oh, I'm better than. It's I'm giving you a space to heal and to express and to engage with community around the deeply painful and confusing experience that you're having.
Yeah.
And to laugh at it is healing. I mean, laughter really is the best medicine.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that you said that, and I do see that. So I think that one of my issues, and one of the issues that led me out of the church was the way that I saw it contributing to my own arrogance, as you know, being like the self-centered person in the universe that, you know, God gave the one true church, and here I am as a missionary trying to convert everybody else. And, you know, like there was a prayer that I heard somebody say in sacrament meeting that was, we are the most humbled to be the most chosen of all thy people. And I just went, I can't live with that kind of a, like, that's not real humility to really think of yourself as the most chosen of all that. Like, I couldn't do that anymore. And so when I started seeing that same kind of thing cropping up in me, in the Infants on Throne stuff, I'm like very sensitive to that. So I think that's probably why I tend to exaggerate that and not
Well, it's
focus
your
on those other
concern.
things that you mentioned.
Well,
Yeah,
it's your
it's a
concern.
concern
Your
that I have.
concern, what comes up is a concern that you're going to be arrogant, condescending, and superior, or get some kind of superiority thing
And
going on.
times where I heard myself being that.
Yeah. And you heard it and you didn't like that when
Yeah.
that came out. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Cool. All right. Well, we'll do the next one of these next week. And I appreciate the plug for the Arcturian Playground. I've started adding on YouTube, visual images. And I'm gonna be redoing those early ones, especially in my own voice instead of the voice that I use when I channel. You know, my sister used to recently listen to it. She's like, that voice just has always creeped me out. And it's been like a barrier to entry. She goes, I didn't understand why you were doing it. I still don't totally understand why you do it in that voice. And I don't know. I think it's a protection in some way. But it also like helps me create. It's like a artistic tool to go, okay, like now. And it makes sense what you said earlier about the Mormon blessings and all those affectations that we put on them. That would be something that's very familiar to my neural pathways because they've done that many, many times throughout the course of my life. So I'd dip into that again here for this. But
What's your middle name, Glenn?
Glenn is my middle name.
Oh, what's your first name?
Dow.
DAU?
DOW.
Just
Like
Dow.
Dow
Like Dow
Jones
Jones. All right.
or Dow Bathroom Cleaner.
So I'd be like Dow
Dow
Glesh
Glenn Ostlund the second.
Ostlund the second. Yeah,
Yeah.
like it's like a pacing, like, so I'm trying to remember like how I would say it. Like I was exaggerating it there to try to get a sense of it, but it would be like, I place my hands upon your head and give you a blessing by the power of the holy Melchizedek priesthood.
Which I
I got th
held.
I think I got
Yeah.
that out of order. I lay my hands upon your head and give you a blessing.
By the
Glenn,
power and
at this
authority of the
time.
holy Melchizedek priesthood, which I hold. And then it was always a question in Elder's Quorum, is it power or authority? Or is it power and authority? And we'd spend way too much time talking about that kind of
It was
stuff. But
basically like being in a fan group, like you're just nerding out over details of the fandom. In a
yeah.
way, that's what religion is, right?
Yeah.
Could Batman really? Yeah, there's phrases, there's phraseology, there's ways that you're tapping into this creative thing. There's an affectation. In the sense, I think anybody all the time, and I've said these things before, but it's we're all acting all the time.
Yeah.
We're in perpetuity repeating a style of interaction that feels familiar to us. And when we interact with people get in relationships and they turn into each other. They start to speak in similar tones and things. It's just like, yeah, the personality is fluid. It's not a rigid, although if it's very rigid, I guess it's a disorder. But anyway, I'm just kind of pontificating about all this idea of self and energy and why not channel. If you're an actor, that's what you're doing anyway.
All right. Well, thank you, Josh. I really enjoyed this.
Me too. All right, we'll see you next week.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Peace.
Put down the weapons that you use against yourself. You don't need them anymore. Lay down the weapons that you use against the world. We don't need another war. Put down the weapons that you use against yourself.
Hi, this is Hillary.
Matthew, Ryan,
Carol,
Keith,
Dashley,
and I like to play bingo online while listening to Infants on Thrones.
You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com.
And if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes.
I did.
I did.
I did.
Anyone for the closing prayer?
My worst crime is an inside job. Dark thoughts taking over like an inside mob. I tune into the scene between the eyes. And take a breath.
Thank you for listening to Infants on Throne.
I sit still and watch the thoughts float past me. Never mind the future, never mind what the past be. I like to jump and let the universe catch me. 3-4, watch the beauty blow past me. I keep my pockets light, destination in sight. Keep my actions elevated to compassionate heights. I'm walking past the fight, laying down on Sunday night. Choosing love when I pick up this mic.